So the first 2 weeks of our Easter season are always about very clear experience of those who follow Jesus and the empty tomb, the road to Emmaus. Always come then to this and Mary Magdalene, her experience at the empty tomb. Then we come to this fourth Sunday of Easter, which is always Good Shepherd Sunday. There's a very direct link between the resurrection and the Good Shepherd. The reason Jesus entered into this world was to lead us back to the Father, to reconcile us and then lead us. He reconciles us through his paschal mystery, the death and resurrection, and then rising from the dead. He now shepherds us, and as we heard in the first reading, through the gift of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we'll experience once again at Pentecost. This is the goal of our God, to bring us back to the Father. Jesus' image of shepherd, to me, always was boggling my mind, because I just never thought that being a shepherd was a desirable occupation. And now I'm a pastor. And let me confirm it. Not at all. I think it's because we just don't have shepherds so much in our Western culture. We have big factories and big conglomerates that kind of deal with cattle and chickens and turkeys and sheep. The last time I was in Israel, I really grew my appreciation and understanding of the shepherd. A shepherd is actually a very desirable occupation. They're extremely wealthy people, and rightfully so. They're entrusted with the bank. You invest all your money in your sheep, your cattle, whatever it is, that's your money. You want to make sure it's safe. And so, especially in Bethlehem, you see the mountains still filled with shepherds and sheep and sheep gates. This little pen that is made up of rocks that a shepherd just assembles together. No gate, because he himself becomes the gate. They spend the night, that's where he lays. He lays in front of that entrance so that nothing can get in and none of his sheep go out. It's fascinating. I don't think it's a lifelong occupation, but it certainly is for a number of years until they probably accumulate their wealth and then they maybe buy their own cattle or whatever they're dealing with, sheep in this case. So it's important for us to just mull over what Jesus is trying to express to us here. He himself is the good shepherd. He himself is the gate. In a world that is so keen on diversity, and we hear it all the time, well, there's many paths and there's many, you know, we'll all end up in the same place. Well, Jesus is disagreeing with that today clearly. He is the gate. All others are robbers, thieves, who have come to steal, slaughter, and destroy. It's a hard pill to swallow in a culture like ours. That's his opinion. That's how he defines himself. Our experience, hopefully, would be the same, that we've tried other gods and they have failed us. But this one, in fact, does lead us to green pastures. Not only does he keep us safe through the darkness of night against all predators, but then at the dawn of day, he leads us from weeds, thorns, and thickets into a nice green pasture where we can be nourished, where we can grow, we can flourish. This image of a good shepherd is a fascinating image. Last week, if you recall, we reflected on what it is that blinded the disciples on the road to Emmaus. What is it that kept them from seeing Jesus right there? This week, it could be not with our eyes, but with our ears. Jesus said, "I know mine, and mine know me." We know each other's voice. Do you and I, do we recognize the voice of our Master? When we're right at that brink of temptation to either fall in or fall out, to choose virtue or vice, to move into what is good or bad, can we hear His voice calling us off the cliff? If not, like any voice that we're trying to grow in our recognition of, we need to spend time with. To really sit and listen to the Lord. Let Him speak to us. I don't know about you, but most of my prayer time is me telling Him what He should be doing and how He should be fixing things. I would do better if I'd shut up and listen to what He's telling me. The Scriptures certainly give us an opportunity to know His voice, especially when you think of today's gospel passage. It's a long passage, but there's only a few of His exact words, His quotes. Might be good in our prayer time to just simply leave out some of the externals and just read the quotes. Or if you've got one of those fancy Bibles, the lettering is red. This is words. Important for us to help us know His voice. He says that His followers don't follow strangers. How often we found ourselves throughout life, which is why God gives us the sacrament of penance, following other voices where we thought this was God, or we thought it was good, or we thought it would be all right, and we find ourselves in thorns and thickets, starving for good, fertile ground. As we go through our week again this week, again, we're invited to consider what is it that keeps us from knowing His voice in our own personal lives? Me, Troy Nevins, what is it that keeps me from recognizing His voice day in and day out? The subtle promptings of His Spirit trying to move me and direct me. Is it because I'm too busy? Is it because I'm too calculated throughout my day, too organized? Sometimes organization, I think, can end up being a bad thing. Slave to the calendar. When God's Holy Spirit tries to move me in a different direction, I can't because it's booked. So it's good for us to contemplate our shepherd's voice, our recognition of that voice, and what it is that keeps us from knowing Him more and more.